Now, this is something that we want to look at, the perfecting holiness. This is good to know. 56 sign up, and this is very early. And it's just good to know that we've got about 400 over people left, 444 before we hit the 500. So let's try and see what we can do to improve the numbers. And then please send them early so that we can arrange the rooms. Arranging rooms is a real nightmare. It's a logistic nightmare. And of course, the hotel has bent backwards. We literally, 3/4 of the hotel are taken up by us. So they are just bending over backwards, giving us all the rooms that we need to run the camp successfully. So let's do our part in appreciating all the effort put in, and let's try and see what we can do. All right. So please plan to sign up early. The text that we're working with in the evening messages is actually from 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. And they are very, very interesting, very intriguing texts to study, perfecting holiness. We often think that we are already holy. How can we perfect holiness? Well, this is a very challenging thing to study. Okay, well, let's prepare for our worship.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Normally, people don't respond, but thanks. That means I know at least one person is alive. We thank God for being able to worship Him. Psalm 86, 12 and 13. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy towards me. And you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. As we carry this theme of what it means to bless the Lord, it is with a grateful heart that we begin this time of worship. Let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather as individuals, as families, and as a church to worship you. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. May your word come forth with power from Pastor Mitch. May it encourage us, may it lift us up to live for you. Be with us. Accept this time of worship. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just in case you're new to our midst, my name is George, and this is my natural voice. I've got PST, permanent sore throat. Not because I shout at my wife, no. I spoiled it when I was young. You know, as we begin this whole series of what it means to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Currently, as I grow a bit older, I spend a bit more time in hospital. Go for checkup. So when you do checkup, normally you got a lot of time to think. Because the waiting time is very long. So either I will read, or I'll think, and I will even reflect on what God has done. So this time round, it so happened that Pastor Ben called me also, again. And it was just in time for me to go for the medical checkup. And it gave me a good time to really reflect on my life. You know, as I think of the days when I first started in Bethany as a teenager, to my life working, getting married, children, becoming a grandfather, it is with the greatest joy that I can say that it was God who was leading me. Every step of the way, it was difficult. There were challenges. There were times where it was even uncertain in your own life. But there was God. His goodness, his mercy knows no bounds. But it is endless and deep. And he knows all our struggles. If only we can go to him. I'm thankful for Bethany, for each one of you, for being there, for supporting, for praying, because that is what the church ought to be. So my encouragement to you is sign up for camp. Why? Because the impact that God's word had on my life was back in 1975 when I first attended the first camp for me. But all these years, Pastor has just emphasized on one thing: learning how to appreciate and love the Lord and his word. And from there, wonderful lessons of life about who God is and what He is like. What He has done for you in your life, in your family's life, in the church's life. And how He will continue to lead and guide us. Just to keep you updated, some of you already see the construction that's going on. Just to let you know that in about 2 months' time, the platform lift will come. We will set it up. It's at the stage where it's being built in Europe. But they told me that Europe takes holiday during December. So nobody works. So it's a bit slightly delayed. But after that is over and it is running, we will start to change the lifts that we have to something better. But it is not anybody's work. It is God's provision. It's God who has provided us all this. Let us be appreciative of the things that we have. A wonderful God. We have a great God. And that is why I've chosen the first hymn most appropriately. How great thou art. Indeed, O Lord my God, when I am in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds the hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. That is the God that we have. And let's learn how to bless His name. Let's sing this hymn together. How great thou art.
Thank you.
Thank you for that wonderful singing. I felt like I was in heaven. Musicians, thank you for making it better. AV, I think we don't realize how important the AV is, because sometimes when it all goes off, unless you have a loud voice, then you can get everybody to pay attention. Anyway, if you want to know where we're having our camp, it's at the same place. Then and I was singing, then I saw the word mountain grandeur. I said, yeah. La grandeur, yeah. Okay, Casey and myself, we were there on Thursday to catch up with them. This year, the cost has gone up slightly. Two reasons. One is the ringgit has become stronger. Those of you who want to go shopping, please take note. The second one is they have adjusted some of the costs because of cost increase as well. But all these years, do you know that every camper is actually sponsored? What you give as a fee, as a camp fee, is not enough. And that is where, as we look at how God has been providing, it is a tremendous sense of awe that I stand at how God has provided. Every camp, whether it is the junior camp, the youth conference, or the family camp, it has been something that we see God touching lives. This year I was watching the youth conference on the last day when Pastor was leading in the consecration, and he took some of the old songs, and how the children responded. You know, we can organize a camp. You can come. But are you ready to meet up with God? To listen to His word? To let the word touch your life? To impact your life in such a way that the way you live, it will be different. The way that we live, that the way we serve God, it must reflect God's goodness and kindness upon our lives. As we pray for each other, as we pray for the church, let us always remember what it means to be forgiven of our sins and of our iniquities. In Psalm 103, the psalmist writes, "And forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction." That is what God has done. And God will continue to do. But you must commit yourself to it. You must make that time, you must set aside that time to go and study God's word, to meet with His people, to fellowship with them. And this year, I think we hope to really just encourage everyone. Think about it. What do you give up just for camp? What will you give up to just be there to listen to God's word? You know, one of the things I would like to encourage you is when it comes to singing, I normally stand at the back and I watch some people when they worship. Some of you don't sing, I don't know why, but it's very strange. You look at the words, you're following, I think, in your heart. But I think one of the best ways to really worship God is to sing. It is because that words speak of the truth. The words of God will just encourage you and uplift your life and uplift those around you. You may not be the best singer, but it's okay. All right, and that's what I want to encourage you as we take this next hymn, a wonderful hymn, because whatever the world is going through right now, just remember this: rejoice, the Lord is King, and King adore. Mortals, give thanks, sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again. I say rejoice. Let's rise as we take this hymn. As we worship this wonderful God that we have, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Please be seated. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. My pleasure to invite Pastor Mitch to give us God's word.
Well, thank you, George. It is my joy and privilege to bring God's word to you this morning. But before I do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for each Sunday that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, dear Father, that you will bless us now as we study your word. We pray, dear Lord, that you will grant us understanding and be able, Lord, to respond to your word. And be with me as I bring forth your word to everyone. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We started the year on a note of blessing the Lord. We can bless the Lord for all his blessings in life, his benefits. Our challenge was not to forget them. We are to actively remember his blessings. He has forgiven us for our sins. He has healed our diseases. He crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He has renewed our youth and our strength. You know, and we can offer soul-felt worship to the Lord. Now the question is whether we can sustain this blessing of the Lord. Even as we commence 2026, there may be some of us who may think how this year will turn out. There may be trials. Will there be health issues? Would there be difficulties with work, with family? Would there be deaths? During the week, we conducted 3 funerals, and this is the first full week of the year. You know, our hearts go out to all those who have lost loved ones. You know, we are remembering you much in prayer. Difficulties and problems will challenge our resolve to bless the Lord. Can we continue to praise the Lord despite what we may face in life this year? And the answer is that we must and we can. We can keep blessing the Lord. And how can we do this? We can do this by tracing and trusting in the Lord's hand. Let's turn to Psalm 103 once again. And in verse 6, we read, "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." The word Lord is mentioned 10 times in this psalm. It is a very sacred covenantal name of God. And we are to bless the Lord and His name. Now, how can we do this? The first thing that I would like to impress upon your heart is that we must have a foundational trust in the Lord's righteous hand. The first part of Psalm 103 is about the personal benefits, the fiscal benefits of the Lord. The next part is about the history of Israel. David took time to trace the history of Israel. And as we trace the hand of God in the history of Israel, we can have a foundational trust in Him. And this trust in God is based on His word, His plan, His hand of righteousness in the history of Israel. The Lord's hand was there from the very beginning with reference to Israel. And we can trust the Lord's sovereign hand of righteousness, even in times of oppression. To His people, He will show forth His righteousness. God had a righteous plan for Israel from the very beginning. And there was this prophecy concerning Israel being oppressed. Let's turn to Genesis 15. And in Genesis 15, we read in verse 12 to 16, and this was a prophecy that was given to Abraham concerning the oppression of the people of Israel. In verse 12, we read, "And when the sun was going down, and a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, 400 years, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete.'" And this was a prophecy with reference to Israel being oppressed. The oppressed in Psalm 103 is a reference to the nation of Israel. They will be afflicted 400 years. There will be so much injustice during this 400 years. In the fourth generation, Israel will return and conquer Canaan. The Lord would allow His people to go through suffering. God had an overall plan for the nation of Israel. And the Lord knows the plight of the oppressed. Now, before the nation of Israel was oppressed, in Genesis 50 and Exodus 1, we read of how they had the best of the land of Goshen in Egypt. They were multiplying. They were well provided for. But then all of a sudden, they had a change of king, who did not know Joseph. And when the king became envious, evil arose. All of a sudden, their fortunes were changed overnight, the people of Israel. And they were put into hard bondage. They were afflicted with burdens. They were forced to do hard labor. Oppression began when they least expected it. In the midst of great affliction, the Lord's righteous hand is still there. You know, God had an overall plan. And this plan was there from the very beginning. And he was waiting for the people of Israel to grow as a nation. God was allowing them to go through oppression for 400 years. And there will come a time where they will be ready to take back the land of Canaan. Even in an evil affliction, God was still blessing them. They continued to multiply and grew as a nation. And the Lord was going to execute righteousness upon Egypt. That was God's plan. Can the people of Israel still trust the Lord and His word in times of oppression and difficulty? Is God still righteous? Most definitely. The people cried out to the Lord in Exodus 2 and in verse 23 and 25. God heard their groanings. They cried out to the Lord. And in Psalm 103, we begin with the physical blessing, but as David wrote on, he moved towards the spiritual. He was now seeking to relate to God as one who will answer those who cried out to him in times of oppression. And God heard their groanings. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, and he looked upon Israel and he acknowledged them. He had seen their oppression and he would deliver them. So as we trace the hand of God, we want to learn to have a foundational trust in Him, in His righteous hand. You know, trusting God's hand of justice. Genesis 15 and in verse 14, it reads, "And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. And afterward, they will come out with great possession." To his enemies, God will execute justice. He is a God of justice. He will execute justice, judgment on the people of Egypt. He will uphold justice, and he will judge the nation. And he will do this in his own timing and in his way. You know, when we see so much injustice in the world today, can we trust God's hand of justice? Yes, we can. When the people of Israel went into the land of Egypt, they were only 70 people. And now they were about 1 million people. 400 years of affliction. But along the way, God continued to bless them and they multiplied and they were about 1 million people now. And they were now ready to come out of Egypt and enter into Canaan. And the Lord executed justice on the people of Egypt. This was the Lord's hand, God's righteous hand of executing justice on Egypt. Can we be challenged this morning to first have a foundational trust in God's hand of righteousness? Not only should we have a foundational trust in God's hand of righteousness, there should also be the fortifying of our trust in the Lord's ways. Let's go back to Psalm 103 and in verse 7, we read, "He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel." You know, we can also trust that the Lord will reveal His ways to us. He will reveal His ways as we trust in Him. He would also demonstrate His great acts. Exodus, the book of Exodus, depicts the beginning of Israel as a nation. And Moses was specially appointed by God. Moses was God's answer to bring the people out of Israel. And Moses was appointed as the leader. And the Lord was going to reveal his ways to Moses. Let's turn to Exodus 3 at this point of time. And in Exodus 3, we read of how God began slowly to reveal himself to Moses. He made known his ways to Moses. God revealed his holiness as Moses stepped before the burning bush. God told him, "Do not come near, for the ground that you stand is holy ground. Take off your sandals." So he was learning about God's holiness. He was learning about God's presence. "I will be with you." He was learning about God's plans, how God is going to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt and how he would bring them into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. God was going to promise. God gave promise after promise. God was revealing his ways, his power, how the rod of Moses would turn into a serpent, from his hand being leprous to being one that is healthy. He was going to reveal his lordship to Moses and to the people of Israel. In Exodus 6 and in verse 2, we read, "And God spoke to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, Lord, I was not known to them.'" And this was something that God was going to reveal to Moses and to the people of Israel, his lordship. Moses began to see how God would specially protect him and the people of Israel. He began to distinguish between them and the Egyptians through the plagues. They were specially protected by the blood of the lamb on the doorposts when death was going through the land of Egypt. Moses trusted in all the ways of God, and these were the ways Moses had come to know of God. God demonstrated his great acts to the children of Israel. And he brought judgment to Egypt, 10 plagues. He redeemed the people. He will deliver them with an outstretched and powerful arm, with great judgment. The river turning into blood, frogs filling the land, lice, flies, diseases, hail, darkness, and finally, the death of the firstborn son of all the Egyptians. He will show forth his powerful hand. He made a distinction between them, the people of Israel, and Egypt. And of course, there was the final destruction of Pharaoh's army by God at the Red Sea, Exodus 14. You know, he was upholding justice. He brought justice upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. They had oppressed the people of Israel for 400 years. 400 years of injustice to the people of Israel. God brought forth, executed righteousness and justice. God revealed his ways to Moses, his great acts to the people of Israel. Not only can we have a foundational trust in God's righteous hand, we can fortify our trust. We can fortify our trust in God's ways. And then we can have fullness, a fullness of trust in the Lord God. Moses had learned to have fullness of trust in the Lord's hand of righteousness. Turn with me to Exodus 15 now. And in Exodus 15, Moses wrote a song. After going through all that he did, the people of Israel coming out of Egypt, and they were delivered by the Lord. This was a song that Moses wrote. So Moses was a songwriter, and this was his first song that he wrote. And Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him." And so there was this fullness of trust in the Lord. The Lord had triumphed gloriously. The Lord is his strength and song. He found God as his strength and song. There was this great power of God displayed. The Lord became his strength. When we read in Exodus 3, we see Moses that was tentative, a Moses that was doubtful, a Moses that kept asking, "What if, what if, what if?" A Moses that was weak in faith. But now you see a confident Moses, a triumphant Moses, a Moses that had fullness of trust in the Lord. When there's fullness of trust in the Lord, we can rejoice in the Lord. We can see that the Lord's name is one that is faithful, that is true. And this was something that he had. God had revealed himself to Moses, and he was able to rejoice. At the end of this song, we read that the Lord reigned forever and forever. And he was able to rejoice in the Lord. He will sing to the Lord. He will praise the Lord. He will exalt the Lord. The Lord had put a song in his heart. When we trust the Lord fully, when we place our full trust in him, and he is there for us, he will put a song in our hearts, and we can still praise and honor the Lord. How can we sustain this praising of the Lord? It's when we have fullness of trust in him, and when he is there with us every step of the way, through what we may go through in life, you know, we can sustain this blessing of the Lord. When we have fullness of trust, we can still rejoice in him despite what we may go through. Moses' example is depicted in this song as one who fully trusted in God and he continued to rejoice. Let's turn to David now as an example of one who fully trusts in God and he also rejoiced. Let's turn to Psalm 18 right now. And in Psalm 18, this was a psalm that was written by David. And we read in a very similar way how he also trusted in God, like Moses. And this was a song. He trusted in the Lord's righteous hand. And this is a song in dedication to the Lord, how the Lord delivered him from all his enemies, delivered him from the hand of Saul. The Lord delivered him from the pangs of death, verse 4. The Lord heard him when he cried out for help, verse 3. The Lord supported him, verse 18. The Lord had been merciful to him, verse 25. There was this trusting fully in the Lord for his divine ways. In verse 1 to 3, we read how the Lord is his strength, the Lord is his rock and fortress and deliverer, the Lord is his shield and horn of salvation, his stronghold. The Lord is his light. In verse 28, the Lord will, for you will light my lamp. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. And then in verse 30, we read, as for God, his way is perfect. God's ways is always perfect. And this is a God he placed his trust in whom I will trust. In chapter Psalm 18 and in verse, I will call upon the Lord. and I would in whom I will trust, verse 2. And then in verse further down, we read of how he also placed his trust in verse 10. In verse 30, he is a shield to all who trust in him. You know, there was fullness of trust in the Lord. And he was able to give thanks to God. He said, I love the Lord. Blessing the Lord as the rock in verse 46. The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. And so we can see from the example of David that he was also able to have fullness of trust and he was able to rejoice in the Lord and give praise. So how can we apply this into our own lives? Let's begin first with having a foundational trust in the Lord's hand of righteousness. Let's trust his sovereign plan for our lives. And seeing and trusting his hand in our lives, let's trust in the Lord's righteousness, even in times of difficulties. We can fortify our trust in the Lord's ways, trusting all the ways of the Lord, experiencing his proven acts, trusting his ways as always perfect. You know, the best thing that has ever happened to me was the day 40 years ago when I started learning to have a foundational trust in God's hand in my life. You know, I entrusted my life to him to direct my ways and my life. And he did. And he continued to do so. The Lord has been with me for the last 40 years. I trust fully in all his ways. His ways is always perfect. This coming week, I'm going for surgery on my eyelids. I have this thing called ptosis on my right eye. It's been there for many years, but recently it's affected my vision. So my right eyelid has been drooping, and it's causing me to have a bit of blurry vision. It's affecting me at night. So I got to know about this when I wanted to make a bifocal glasses. One day, I was going to the bus stop, and there was this young girl who was searching something next to the bus stop, and I decided to ask her, well, what are you doing? And she said, you know, I dropped my fake eyelashes. And she was looking for her eyelashes, and she said each one cost $50. Wow. I say, okay, let me help you to find it. But as I was trying to find it, I couldn't see. I couldn't. It was so, I really tried, trying to be a good Samaritan, but unable to do so. I told her, sorry, I can't find it. And I decided after that to go to the glasses shop to try to get a bifocal glass in case I come across another person who has lost her fake eyelashes. And the ophthalmologist said to me straight away that there's something wrong with your right eye. You better go and see an eye specialist. And so I went to see Dr. Kim Taek and Yeo Kim Taek, and he said that I have ptosis on my right eye. And he recommended an eye surgeon, and the eye surgeon confirmed, and it was something that I needed to do. So this coming Tuesday, I'm going to do it. It's a day surgery. So I'm not too concerned about the surgery itself. I'm more concerned about the post-surgery. Because I went for an operation in the past, and the operation was good, but my healing wasn't good. I have this problem. Whatever wound I have takes a long time to heal. Even a cut takes forever. And the previous operation, the healing wasn't good. So that is my concern. Someone asked me, are you troubled as you go for this operation? I told him, no, I'm not troubled, but I'm concerned about the healing process. What if it doesn't heal well? What if this happens? What if, what if, what if? And then also another what if. You know, maybe I should have done this earlier. Maybe my vision would have been better. What ifs? So what has been plaguing my mind this past 2 weeks is, what if? And so this coming week, I'm just going to trust and trust all my what ifs to God. And I'm just going to go ahead with this, and we'll see what happens after that. And so I'm just going to learn how to trust the Lord, even with this procedure that I have to go through this coming week. What if it doesn't go well? Well, some of you have been asking me how to tell the difference. Well, now the pastor with the bigger eyes is Pastor Mitch, okay? You know, I'm fully trusting the Lord even as I go for this procedure. The next 2 weeks will be a time of further discovering the Lord. Can we have fullness of trust in the Lord as we go through whatever we need to go through in life? Yes, we can. Can we continue to rejoice in the Lord? My answer is yes. We must and we can. We can have fullness of trust for the year ahead. The Lord is our strength and song, and we can rejoice and give thanks and continue to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. His name represents all that he is, his righteousness, his ways, his mercies, his acts, all that he is and all that he has done and will do is seen in his name. And as we know him and trust him further, trust his ways better, let's bless his holy name. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you that we can learn to go beyond the physical blessings of life and to be able to see the spiritual things in you, in who you are, in your ways. We just want to pray, dear Lord, that you will help us to learn to have this absolute fullness of trust in you for the year ahead. And we pray, dear Father, that as we do this, you will always place a song in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be able to sing to you no matter what we may go through in life. And we pray, dear Father, that you will strengthen our faith for the year that is ahead. We ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our last song that we're going to sing is entitled, O Rejoice in the Lord. And this song was written by Ron Hamilton. He's a pastor who had cancer. And along the way, when he had cancer, he lost his right eye. And after he lost his right eye, he wrote this song, O Rejoice in the Lord. And he learned to trust in the Lord, and he learned to rejoice in the Lord. And so even as we sing this song, may our hearts be encouraged to have a song in our hearts, and may we always rejoice in him and give praise to him. So let's all rise as we sing our last hymn, O Rejoice in the Lord. Praising us. Thank you. fine singing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as I give you the Lord's benediction. And now may the love of God be with us and surround us. And may He bless us as we learn to place our trust in Him for His hand, His righteous hand in our lives. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ enable us to fortify our trust in Him for all His ways. And may the fellowship of the Spirit of God comfort us and cause us to rejoice in Him and to bless the Lord now and till the Lord Jesus comes for us, in whose mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Well, thank you, musicians. May we have a good time of fellowship downstairs as we have lunch. May we take the time to encourage each other. But let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you that we can trust in you,
that you are a God who is absolutely in control of our lives, and you are sovereign over all things. We praise you and glorify you forever. We pray, dear Lord, that you will bless us as we have lunch together. Bless those who have given lunch today. Bless all the cooks who have cooked for us. And bless the time of fellowship that we're going to have. Bless the food into our bodies. And may we be able to have a good time of just encouraging each other. So be with us, Lord, and be with us for the rest of this, for this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have a good lunch.